Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. It is a Friday edition of Playmakers, and we have got a lot to do in the next hour, everybody. And we're able to do it thanks to our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go there for all your printing needs. Buy local support. Local support those that support us in this community. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my partner in sports, Seth Habacker.
Wow. You could, that whole thing you just did, you couldn't do that again if you tried,
not
man.
Even close.
That,
not just, even
bam, bam.
Wow. One take. One take, that's
it. One take.
And it'll never happen again.
They used to call him One Take Jimmy.
We've got a lot of fun lined up today. We're going to be also joined by Michael Comer. Michael is down there and over at Assumption High School on the field, ready to call the game for tonight. We are leading you sort of into our sister station's game for 105.5. That will kick off at 6:50. Assumption High School football hosting Bocelli. Randy, Mike, Seth going to be running that game for you. It's going to be good.
Yes.
I want to preview the Badger game coming up. I want to preview a little bit of the Packer game coming up tonight. Some of that. Got a fun stat of the show for you all lined up a little bit later. We'll talk some Brewers, and we'll certainly be talking high school sports with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that you or the audience has, Seth, we want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. One of the things I want to get into with this, Seth, in a moment here, is the wildest foods served at NFL stadiums.
Oh, those are always fun.
As we are getting into the NFL season.
Yeah.
But I got the chance to watch a lot of, out of the corner of my eye and in both eyes, the game last night, the first game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the last good Thursday night game we'll have all season.
They chose well.
They
did to start off the season. But
thank you to the Chiefs and the Ravens for giving us a great first game, I think.
Yeah, it was exciting.
I do find it silly the people that will ramble and complain about sports that never will talk about sports until there's something to ramble and complain about. his toe was out. That's the rule. It's always been the rule, and it's actually a pretty fair rule. It makes sense. Like
it does.
It doesn't. I don't think there's anything wrong with the rule.
No.
I don't see there's any why there's all this backlash, and it just feels like people that want to talk football but don't know how to talk football. Like this gives them something to talk about. That everybody. Well, that makes sense. He should be able to still get it because he tried so hard, and it would have been cool. I was watching the game, man. I thought it would have been cool to go to overtime too. His foot was out.
Yeah,
he's got two toes out. That's too much. Ask Kevin Durant. The Milwaukee Bucks have a title in many ways because Kevin Durant has big feet. And he had a toe on the line.
Exactly.
Nobody was complaining about the toe on the line then.
No, they were very happy about that one. But no, And the Ravens had plenty of other chances.
Absolutely.
To tie the score, even go ahead. I mean, it's the game. I mean, things happen that are going to happen. That one's just obvious because it happened at the end of the game. If it had happened in the first quarter, people would still talk about it a little bit. Like, if he would have just made that catch inbounds, that'd have been, the game might have been different. But now, because it was at the last moment, they could have tied the game and everything. It's like, we got to change the rule.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Calm down.
Please don't give the NFL more rules to change.
Oh, no.
We're still trying to figure out what a catch is. Let's not even bother with that.
That's the holy grail. That'll never be decided
what a catch is. I do think that Kansas City won, Baltimore has shown me nothing but things to be excited about.
Yeah.
And once that offensive line really gels, then you'll see something. Once Derrick Henry is able to gel with Lamar Moore in that line, when they get to know each other, that's going to be electric. That's going to be so much fun to watch. That is going to be an awesome offense. And by all means, I think we might have just seen the AFC Championship game.
I'm telling. It's
going to be one of those two teams. And I would love to ramble and talk more and more about that game. I can't get over. I refuse to normalize. I don't do this. Growing up, most of my favorite players, the guys that I really enjoyed, were not the number one athlete in the world or the number one athlete in their sport.
Nope.
It was never my thing. The only time this has ever happened to me is with Patrick Mahomes. And it didn't start out that way. I didn't start out jumping on the bandwagon. I've been a fan of his since he was his first days at Texas Tech. I just happened to be home one night watching Saturday Night Football when he had the record-breaking game against Oklahoma, I want to say. It was like 70-60. He had like 600 yards. It was and the thing about him, the way he plays the game, is so unique that it's he doesn't have – I always seem to like guys like this. You know, Jerry Rice was never the strongest, fastest guy on any field that he was on from high school, college to pros. But that man was the greatest wide receiver there will ever be.
Yep.
I feel very confident saying that because of his work ethic and how uniquely he looked at the game.
Yep.
He had route ideas that they're doing now that he pretty much invented.
Right.
Mahomes is very similar to this. He just has a very unique improv ability in the way he sees the game and how well he sees the field.
His vision, yep.
I got into a conversation the other day about greatest Super Bowl performances, and it came up again where, to me, I think it might have been the best performance I've ever seen out of a quarterback, and he lost. That's how good this kid is. I'd love to talk about that for the next 45 minutes, but I was very distracted because the Chiefs, of course, are Super Bowl champions. Their owner, Mr. Hunt, comes out with the trophy, and all I can look at is his hair, Seth. So I want to start out the show with the hot take. Hot takes. Hot takes. You got to have hot takes. This is a sports show.
Owner's hair?
Yes. No NFL owner has good hair.
Now, you know
what? That is my hot take.
That has to be the truth, man. I don't know if you can quantify that, but just hearing you say that, I think you're right, man. I don't think anyone in any executive.
Jerry Jones, Mark Davis.
Any executive has
Al Davis.
Oh, Al Davis had the worst, man.
Every NFL owner. What is with these billionaires and they can't, they just go bald or something. I don't get it.
Do you remember Red McCombs when he owned the Vikings? He had like the worst hair. My God.
That's perfect. Oh, that's a great rip. I forgot about that. All right, that is my hot take of the show. No NFL owner has good hair. We will get to the calls. I think you guys have better things to say. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
That opens up the show. We got to go with something like Go Pack Go or the song that they play when they score the touchdown. This Chicago Blackhawks thing, and it's got to stop.
You just can't take it anymore.
No,
I just can't take it no more.
Yeah. And this is why Kevin has his own sports show that's going to be starting up. No. We're going to have a show inside the show, Kev, that you're going to run. You'll produce. You'll do it inside this show. It'll be great. I am, I should say, excited for this game tonight between Green Bay and Philadelphia. One thing that I want to get to really quick that I actually did want to start the show with, I just thought it'd be funnier to bring up the NFL owners thing. For Green Bay, obviously there is hype, there is hope attached to this team going from last year to Jordan Love, and the way everybody from Mina Kimes to others are talking about Jordan Love, this is the next great quarterback. This is where the excitement lives. This is what football's all about. Then you go look at Philadelphia, and I think there's blood in the water in Philly. And that you got a team that, if anybody hasn't been paying attention, I don't blame you. That is a team that has been going through turmoil since early last year. And there's been a divide in that locker room more and more and more. And I don't know why ownership has kept their Sirianni as their coach. But they're keeping him, at least for now. And that team is one push away from falling over the edge. Like, winning cures everything, and they come out of this game with a win. They're gonna, as long as they keep winning, I think Sirianni stays in. But I mean, one loss, even if they're 9-1, and that seat gets just that hotter in that city that has no love for anybody, the city of brotherly love. I think the Packers tonight could start a domino effect in Philadelphia. That not only they lose that coach, that team could be going from a playoff contender to not even making the playoffs.
You kind of hit that too. You know, throughout the week, you've been talking about the turmoil that has been going on there in Philly. You know, how Hurts and Sirianni is not on the same page. It's a dysfunctional family. Bringing in Saquon Barkley maybe might have helped a little bit. But if they're not going to, if tonight, if the Pack, I mean, they're favored by 2.5. So Vegas thinks something to be there for the Eagles. But if they, like you said, if they get off to a sour start and if the Packers end up beating these guys by two touchdowns, I mean, I'm not counting on it. I think it's going to be closer than that. It might be almost like a score from last night's game.
Yeah.
You know, it could be 27-20. And I'm just not – I'm hyped about the game tonight. I don't know how confident I am about the Packers with this first game because most of those starters, especially Jordan Love, played four plays in the preseason.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't really, I mean, granted they had their inner squad or their combined practices. They still didn't touch the quarterback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This whole deal with the preseason and not letting these guys play. There's talk, you know, if these guys Chase and Ayuk all those other guys.
There's
that
a couple
held
of
out,
them. Yeah.
What's the chance they're going to get hurt the first play because they're not in football shape?
Yeah.
They sat there and beat up on each other, but it just.
It's not game speed.
I mean, I'm hoping the Packers win the night. Right. And I'm hoping the Packers win the night or, you know, come out on top, or if they do lose it, they don't lose bad. Mm. You know, everything still kind of looks good, and you just got beat by a better team. I mean, that's the way it is. But if they come out and don't look good, I'm really getting to get frustrated with these preseason games. If you're not going to play the guys to get the practice, then why even have them?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
There's always going to be a need for a preseason football of some form,
right?
Because there's just too many positions to fill, and you need to find out who's going to fit your squad and not.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think preseason football has its place when it comes to that. I could not agree with you more, man, about the starters playing more and all of this. I'm worried about it with my team. I'm worried about it just as a fan of the NFL. And I think we get a good example of this all the time. Look at Week 1. In Week 1, football can be very hard to watch in some ways. But these two teams we watched last night, they have something in common. Mm-hmm. Their starters played. Their starters took some hits.
Yeah.
Their starters played. Their main guys took some bumps and bruises in the preseason. Oh, that's what a hit's like. I remember now.
Yep.
And it's not their mind that needs to remember.
Oh, no.
It's their bodies that need to remember. They need to understand what it is like to be hit by a freight train. There's nothing that can give you that except for real live NFL football where everything is on the line. You get a little of that in the preseason if you got like a third string corner that's trying to make the team. It always is these outliers. It's not like necessarily the guys that you're really needing to take those hits. I couldn't agree with you more, man. And honestly, if Caleb Williams had played more of the preseason and the worst happens, breaks his leg, breaks his arm, whatever, it sucks. I'm not happy about it, of course, but I get it. It's football. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to look at it any differently if it happens to him. How do Jets fans feel that Aaron Rodgers played preseason football but was out four snaps into the regular season? Would it have mattered at all if it was in a preseason game? Would it make any difference to their season? I think there's a lot of factors in there. I also think, though, that if you're going to ask that of these players to be playing in these games, which, again, I think I agree with, I think you got to do more for these players. You really want to worry about take care of players and take care of their health. There needs to be a mandate on fields. There needs to be a mandate on every field in the NFL and it being up to code. And if it is not, we ain't playing the game.
How about a forfeit? Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Because how many injuries we see and how many times we're going to see this season, you know, of all predictions, there's a prediction for you. There's going to be an injury and it's going to be because of an NFL field. It's going to happen. I don't want that to happen, and I'm not wishing that to happen. I've watched this game my whole life. It happens all the time. They need to get on that. If they really care about these players' health, that is almost number one thing they need to worry about. They mess with the kickoff, given these extra padded helmets. Sure, go for it. Try those things. How about you actually focus on the field they're playing on? Like that needs to be done too,
right.
And as far as the field they're playing on, how about having it in the States? Because I'm not against growing the game, but you are trying to do something that is almost—I don't want to say impossible, but it is mind-boggling to me that such a smart-run franchise, organization, whatever you conglomerate, business, whatever term you want to give the NFL, that they don't see the folly in. Hey, you know what? It worked for the NBA. They were able to do this. The NBA had the Olympics. The NBA had the Dream Team. Like, this was done over decades. With the and basketball was already pretty popular in Europe in some of these things. It had already had a growing thing going on. They knew what basketball was. It had a chance to do something. Nobody cares about football but us. Nobody. They care about football, but not our football. And if you look at where football ranks around the world as far as interest, Cricket is higher. Mm-hmm. Rugby is higher. We're not even talking soccer or hockey. Like, what they're trying to do is folly. It's a waste of money. If they care about the game, let them come here. Let them come to Lambeau. Let them come to Philly and watch a game. And that's not elitism. That's not me being an un-American. You got to come to our soil. That's tourism, baby. That's how we'd survive. We're bringing it to them, and they don't even want it.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a whole load of this.
Except for the novelty. I think that's like the one thing you've got working for you is that it's like, wow, a football game. What is this? Let's go see what this is. Now, that has its limits. Because it's a novelty then. Yeah, you're right. But, you know, real quick, looking at the game tonight, you know, there's two things that I'm looking at the Eagles right now. A fully healthy Jalen Hurts. That is always going to be a bellwether to how Philadelphia plays. Yeah. And the absence of their Hall of Fame center, Jason Kelce. I don't know how much that's going to have an effect. I know everyone is talking about, like, is the tush push going to work anymore without Jason Kelce? Mm-hmm. Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see.
They changed that up a little bit rules-wise, too, so they can't get away with as much of the obviousness of that they used to, of it just basically being the, I don't know if I'm dating myself, but the USC game with where Reggie Bush got pushed by Matt Leiner or something like that.
Oh, my God.
It was just basically so obvious.
Wow, that's old school.
Kev, Kev, what are you looking forward to in the game tonight, other than we just get to watch some football?
Well, I mean, I guess it's going to come down to is the O-line and how they're going to, you know, protect Jordan and open up the holes for the running backs. My biggest thing is that what I'm going to really watch tonight and really hope to see is that defense, and if Halfley's defense is going to be what they have been hyping it up to be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just kind of curious. I mean, need to see what's going to happen, and maybe they could take advantage of not having Jason Kelce in that role where he's been at for so long with Hurts and calling out the signals and the protections and stuff. And it could be interesting to see where that goes. You know, which was kind of surprised is the past couple of weeks they really haven't talked. You know, on some of the sports talks I've listened to, they really haven't talked about the absence of Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's just kind of, it's almost like they kind of moved on from it and they're not going to talk about it.
To be fair, they probably haven't felt the absence because he's there with them. He's you know, he's everywhere right now. So it's hard to we forget that. Oh yeah, he played football like almost and stuff. I think that it's something that I wanted to get to. I still appreciate both of you like hitting on about this because they got a lot of good centers in college football and they got a really nice center that they brought in. The personality isn't there. The character, the identity isn't there. And as soon as there's so much tied to an offense and its identity. We're going to talk about Wisconsin football in a little bit, and that is something that they're still trying to figure out. Mm-hmm. Until a team has that character, that identity, they're lost. And you can have a great team, and you can maybe even win some playoff games, but I've never seen a Super Bowl winner, that didn't have a personality or character to it, whether it's a player or it's an identity from the coach or something like that. Teams rally around that. They build around it. And it's a locker room gel. It's something that keeps even the guys that don't like the same music or on the same side of the ball as friends or getting along or, hey, that's my guy, I'm going to fight for them and everything. It brings something out of these guys to be able to have that talisman almost of your team. And when you don't have that or you had it and you lost it so you know the difference of having it and not, ooh, that could be different. Philly feels like that they're on such thin ice right now. And even with a win tonight, I don't know that that's going to make everything all better. I do think that the NFL has to. Brazil is the kidnapping capital of the world. Like the fact that they're doing this in Brazil, they got to hope that they get out of this not just with no injuries and no kidnappings, no craziness or anything. Right. There's so many things that I'm paying attention to that have nothing to do with football about this game that I'm really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Kev,
go
ahead.
It's kind of, you know, the way things, you know, like you said, the dysfunction that they've had there in Philly. I mean, you know, one of the things that I don't know if you have heard of any of the outtakes from some of the pressers that have been out there with like LaFleur and stuff. Brazil is actually, you know, open arms to Green Bay because of all the stuff that Philly has said.
Yeah.
You know, all the Philly players, they don't want to go play there. Well, go to your city. Your city's not even better than what Brazil is, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's 50,000 people, and it could be 50,000 Packer fans, and this is supposed to be Philadelphia's home game that they gave up. So, right.
Hilarious.
It is funny how that works out.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to kind of seeing how it goes tonight. You know, after watching some of that game last night and seeing some of the, you know, you hate to bring up the officials already, but boy, oh boy,
oh my
gosh,
they're
in mid-season form on some of those calls last night, and these new rules changes. I mean, it's got to happen, and it has to happen in baseball, it has to happen in basketball, and it has to happen in football. You need to put these guys at full time so they understand the rules instead of being off a half a season and all of a sudden come up, well, here's these new rules. Oh, let's work on them in the preseason. Well, if you only have two preseason games or three preseason games, the rules, I mean, they're not going to understand these rules by that at that time. So I hope it's actually going to come down to a call like that, too.
The NFL is awash in money.
Oh, yeah.
They can't afford to pay the officials to make the games good.
It's a bad joke.
It's, I mean, come on, please.
We say these things, we bark about these things because we love this sport so much. We want it to be what it could be. It shouldn't ever. We should be talking about the performances of these players or this amazing rookie Xavier Worthy or something like that. But still, we you know, us and other sports talk radio out there, is this is where the focus goes because it's so darn frustrating and it's such a fixable problem.
Very fixable.
It's not as if we don't know how to fix this. This is impossible. This is. Mm-hmm. You know, cold fusion. Who's ever going to be able to figure this out? It's not that, man. Pony up the money. You got it.
Yeah.
Pony up that dang money and fix this, especially before the worst happens and you become the number two game in town, the number three game in town. You used to be that, the NFL. And all of us are old enough to remember Michael Jordan taking over sports. And even when there wasn't basketball, people were talking about basketball. There was a time where it was baseball, basketball, football. Mm-hmm. Young people out there may not be shocked by that, but that's how the NFL at one point was the third game in town. That can happen again. And it happens.
Not written in stone.
It happens when you get an audience not only ticked off because they're losing home games, they can't find the game, they can't watch it on a network that they have or a streaming service that they already have, and they're trying to figure those things out. So you're alienating older audience members and everything that made your league. Mm-hmm. You don't have a league without the fans.
Right.
They're not going to games because of the prices or because of some other things or whatever. So your stadiums aren't as filled. All this stuff adds up. It's never one thing that brings down Rome didn't fall in a day. It doesn't happen from one. Rome didn't fall from one act. It happened over many years, over many anger and alienating people and ticking people off over this stuff and everything. It adds up.
The cardinal sin, taking your fans for granted that they're always going to be there. And the NFL is getting mighty close to that right now.
And all that being said, football!
Well, the game will always be there. You know.
I love you, football. Thank you for
That's why
back.
You should be like me and start enjoying Canadian football, won't you?
There you go. Yes. Those 120-yard returns. I think that Canada has messed that up, though, because don't they do things in measurements like in kilometers and
they
all
don't.
That? Like, no?
No, they do it in yards.
They do. Yeah. They should do it, though, in kilometers and all that. I think it'd be cooler. I think it'd be more interesting. We wouldn't understand any
of
it.
Yeah, like, then we'd really be confused. Hey, I don't confuse Americans. Show them something metric, right? Yeah.
Real quick before we go to break, Kevin, anything on your mind you wanted to touch on?
Oh, we've kind of touched on it all.
Good. Right on, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I know you talked a little bit about it with Terry this morning on the morning show about the money with these streaming services and stuff, and you know, obviously if you don't have, you know, now the streaming services are basically, remember how you can try do a 7-day trial?
Yeah,
and a lot of them are getting rid of those now because of what's happening with these people that are with sports. Just so they can watch their game once, they'll do the seven day trial. And as soon as the game's done, they'll cancel their subscription.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's going to get.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
I mean, it's just going to get to the point where I think like you said, the NFL is going to get to the point, and people are just going to say enough is enough. We'll listen to it on the radio. you know, listen to
hey, we don't mind that
Wayne Larrabee and
yeah.
And after, we used to do that all the time. I remember when I was growing up, there were times that we shut the TV off or shut the volume down on the TV and able to listen to Jim and Max, you know.
Right, listen to the local team, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't do it no more because of all the delays, but.
Yeah, it doesn't work. That was such a cool thing to do.
Yes.
Man, you can't, like you said, you can't do that anymore. By the way, did you know that you can get Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max in a bundle together now? We're heading back to cable, people.
Yeah. It's all bundles. It's all, yeah.
This is one prediction that I made that I'm standing by because it's going to happen.
It's just going to go right back to it. It is. Kev, we appreciate the time from you, man. You have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
All right, you guys have a great weekend, and go Badgers and go Pack Go. So.
Right on, man. We appreciate the time. Best listeners in radio. Mm-hmm. We're still going to be joined by Michael Comert from Assumption Field, talking a little high school football. Seth and I will also get into some Badger talk, and I got that stat of the show coming up.
All right.
And yes, every NFL owner has bad hair.
We've scientifically proven.
We've got the science backing up now. Yeah. Go ahead and prove me wrong, please. 715-424-2600. We'll be back with more show coming up in just a minute here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Using a Blackhawk song. This is a Blackhawks haven't used that song since 2010.
I was going to say, no, it was actually good. More than one team has used that.
It was a fair shot, though. It was fair. Yeah. we love talking with our good people, and we got a good one on the air with us right now. Michael Comert joining us from Assumption Field. Michael, thanks so much for hanging on the line for us. How you doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I'm actually in Port Edwards right now.
Okay.
As we got about a minute and 42 seconds before the second half starts, and it's been nothing, or not nothing, but it's been all but Port Edwards in that first half to a tune of 43-0 over Wild Rose.
Whoa.
It's going to start the second half with a runtime mercy rule as there's a 35-point lead, so it means the clock's going to run. So the second half's going to go quick.
Okay.
But,
But either way, it was 30-0 at halftime, or at the end of the first quarter, and it's just been all Blackhawks. It's like MTV, all Blackhawks all the time.
Right on. It's, you know, nice to hear for our local team. We appreciate Wild Rose coming to town, coming to Port Edwards for that. And good for that Port Edwards team. They you don't get a lot of victories like this in a high school football season. You take the ones that you can. It's fun for the fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's kind of a rough game. Two interceptions for Wild Rose on the game. Port has one lost fumble. But the big telling thing is 310 total yards at the half for Port Edwards. It's not even close to that. It's about a 48-48 split between your passing and rushing for Wild Rose, so they don't even have 100 total yards in the game yet. So,
wow.
It's second half's going to go quick. This is just a good opportunity to get the youth, the younger players in, acclimated to a varsity game, get some experience, and prepare for next week.
That's pretty cool. Michael, of course, you're going to be covering the Assumption Pacelli game tonight. Before we get to that, any other games on the docket that you're excited about?
Rapids Everest is always a good one.
Yeah.
That's always a good one. I mean, Everest has a 1-1 record. Rapids is 0-2. They've played the same non-conference teams. Rapids lost 44-21 to River Falls, but Everest beat them like 55-26 or something like that. So it was Everest has a little bit of a mental advantage, but it's always a good game. Last year was a 14-14 game. Everest should have been running away with it, and they needed a touchdown with less than 10 seconds to go to win the game. That was a game that Randy and I brought to you last year.
That's right. Yes, you did.
And yeah, brought it to us good, too. I'm very excited to see how that Raiders-Evergreens game goes. That's going to be a good one. I am also interested to see how this Nakusa team continues on, and they've been playing well so far this season, taking on Austin, that should be a good game. When you get to the Royal Field, if you will, when you get down there, what is one of the first things you're going to be looking for out of the Assumption Royals tonight?
Just improvement on offense. Just improvement in general, I should say. They've got to move the ball. They've got to stop their opponent from scoring. They're playing finally against someone who's finally someone who's comparable to them is Pacelli. They've got low numbers as well. Each team's got about 20 players each. So it's more comparable, and who knows? Maybe this year we'll have one just like Seth and I brought you last year that went two overtimes, and it was determined on a fumble on the goal line, and assumption won.
I don't want it to go like that again, Michael. I don't. I that was a long game. I mean, this was, and by the way, that was Mike's first solo game. It was on a Saturday, as of all things, Saturday morning.
That's right.
Yeah,
and we had a lightning storm. I mean, it was the craziest game I've ever been a part of. But it was good in the end. It was the way it ended was just nuts.
I don't remember. I remember there was something else going on in town that day, and I had to stop by, and you were still here. I was like, "What's going on, man?" Yeah, we appreciate you too. That was a great coverage. You guys covered the heck out of that game. It was awesome, and it was a fun game to cover. We'll see what this one is like, Michael. With a game like this one as well, is there anything that any player that stands out that you're going to be excited about or looking forward to?
For Assumption, I would say it would be just seeing the improvement of quarterback play from Braxton Steinert. They're going to probably be without Cam Martin. Unfortunately, with the leg injury that he had last week, hip injury, not exactly sure what all went on down there, but just looking for the improvement, getting the handle on an option offense just a little bit better.
Looking forward to the coverage tonight, man. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you for the time. I'm already excited for next week, getting to talk a little Panthers, Raiders with you. The Jug. We'll have that game next week to be talking about September 13th. That's one that we're going to talk about as well, and as well as the games we'll be covering, of course, here at WFHR and WIRI. Michael, appreciate you. Have a good time tonight, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And for our listeners, just Every game recap you can find on WisconsinRapidsAreaSports.com.
All right.
Nicely done, man.
Yeah,
nicely done. Say hi to Randy for us. You have a good night.
Yep. You got it. You guys too.
Michael Comer joining us right here on Playmakers. Appreciate the time. Man, that's fun to be able to do.
It's fun to hype our own games, man. Yeah. It's great.
Again, on WIRI 105.5 tonight, our pregame kicks off at 6:50. Assumption High School hosting Pacelli. Randy, Mike, Seth going to cover that one for you. You know it's going to be good. A little bit later, tomorrow, we'll be having our later as in the weekend. I don't know what I was saying there. Time is a flat circle.
It is.
12:30, Wisconsin Badger football hosting South Dakota. Looking to get things right, and not that they didn't necessarily, I think, because again, they don't have a preseason football.
No,
I'm not here to make excuses for the Wisconsin Badgers. I just am a realist, and I never expected them to come out the gate with a 50-point win over in Western Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every team has an opportunity to get better. Western Michigan is not any different than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that week one is always when you can pull off an upset, and every team coming into that week is looking at it that way, whether it's week zero or week one, and looking to be App State against Michigan. That they're all looking for that.
Yep.
And it's not surprising to me that was a rough go. This week is a different story. Wisconsin is taking on a better opponent in South Dakota, but not that much better. And while I don't necessarily think that everybody's going to feel better, including Coach Fickell, if they pull off a 30-point win, you're darn if you do, darn if you don't. If you win by 30 in this game, well, you were supposed to.
Right.
If you don't, well, what are you doing? Everything, the sky is falling and all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long college season. And this is the second year of a whole new staff trying to create a whole new culture in an environment that has been this way for 100 years. Badger football, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Win by defense, run the ball.
Yep.
This is something different that they're trying to do. They're trying to modernize this. They're trying to bring the Badgers into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to do something that nobody's really tried to do in that environment before.
No, because they haven't really needed to. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But modern day football, you win in the trenches. You win with a good D line. You want to win a national championship, recruit the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Recruit that D line. That is where championships are won. That's how that's the game. That's the most interesting thing to me about the most interesting matchup this weekend with Michigan and Texas.
Mm.
I would have loved to have spent the whole hour talking about that, because that game is going to be fascinating to me. It could be a blowout either way. It could be a close game either way. It should be a good one either way.
Yep.
Good morning. Good afternoon. You're on the game.
Welcome to Playmakers, James.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me, everybody. Thank you.
Yeah, you guys were talking about owners with good hair. Do you remember Eddie DiPartolo from the San Francisco? He had good hair.
Now, that was the outlier. That's the one
exception. Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that one.
But to be fair, he's Italian. We have good hair. We have good hair. It's one of the few things we have.
It's true.
It's a great reference, though, man.
I was also thinking about Arthur Blank and Ziggy Wolf, but if you cross your eyes, they kind of look like a Marx brother.
Definitely. I am so glad you said that, man. I'll bring it back and earmuffs to Atlanta fans out there. I know how big we are in the Atlanta market.
Yes, huge.
When he's dancing on the sidelines and everything, that famous moment of that and everything, and he's not dancing, but he's out there doing that. I immediately thought of Groucho Marx in the suit he was in with that mustache. I thought of Groucho, and I thought it was just me. That's a great reference.
The joke was on him.
Matt, we appreciate you. Is there anything you're looking forward to in this big, busy sports weekend more than anything else? Is there something that stands out to you?
Well, I want to see the Vikings win, obviously. But you're talking about tonight's game, and I think the field that you mentioned, they're playing on a soccer pitch, so I'm hoping that wouldn't be an issue.
There's hoping, yeah.
It makes me wonder about the ground game and the kickers, because you got two running backs that are trying to kind of resurrect their careers in new places, and the kicking, I don't know what the scenario is like in Green Bay, but I'm not even sure what it's like in Philadelphia, but I think it's going to be a 3-point game.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like that's the growing feeling with this game, that it's going to be close. I find it really interesting, not only what you mentioned about the pitch that they're playing on, but as excited as I was to see Mahomes and Jackson go against each other, I'm excited to see this matchup at running back. I think it's going to be a very good matchup at running back, and two teams that like to run the ball. Mm-hmm. I think Saquon Barkley's one of the best, if not the best, overall running back in football, mm-hmm. as far as three down back and a guy that could do everything you ask of him and everything, still got some good legs on him, a great football mind, and a guy that is such a team player. I'm a big Saquon fan, and I'm a big Josh Jacobs fan. I think he's a guy that's been begging to go to a team that is competitive, that a team that has playoff contentions and everything. He's got fresh legs when it comes to that, because he's so energized to be playing with a good franchise. That's going to be really exciting to see how those two teams play up. As much as everybody wants to talk Love and Hurts, and I get it, those are the headliners.
Right.
I really am excited about those second tier guys, those guys like that. See how they play.
Wait a minute. It's Love Hurts?
Yes.
It is. I Love just Hurts. Got that. Yes. Oh my God. It Where have Love I been? Hurt.
Why has nobody been on that?
Yeah. I know. Why? Love Hurts. Yeah, it's perfect.
You had a Nazareth song teed up for you, NFL. And no, and all you marketing geniuses.
I swear
out
to
there.
God, it's going to be playing. It's, the pregame thing, they're going to play it at some point.
They got it.
They
right?
got
it.
They
have
right?
to. Yeah. They have to. It's a horrible song, by the way. I hate that song.
Nazareth.
I hate
that song.
Speaking of which, guys, have you heard if there's going to be a big halftime performance by anybody?
I have not.
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Okay.
You would think, well, especially like at least have Shakira. I believe Shakira's Brazilian. I apologize.
Well,
for
or some other Brazilian star.
Yeah, some Brazilian star.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, boy.
Enjoy the games, man.
You as well. Have a good weekend, fellas. We'll
you too.
Later.
Have a good morning. Have a good. I'm kidding, Matt. We appreciate you, Matt. I have our stat of the show, Seth. Stat
All right,
of
let's
the
do it.
Show. Let's have some fun with this one. And our stat of the show is similar to last week, where we're choosing a year, and I'm choosing the year of 1926.
Okay.
We're going to stay in college football to the Georgia Bulldogs that weren't always the Bulldogs.
Mm.
The college football team of Georgia had an interesting story behind its name. Before becoming the Bulldogs, Georgia's first unofficial mascot was a goat. The Georgia Goats.
I love that.
In the first intercollegiate game, I'm sorry, against the team of Auburn in 1926, the team of Georgia introduced a goat as their luck talisman. That was their team nickname.
Right.
However, the team acquired the name Bulldogs, weirdly also. Morgan Blake wrote in the November issue of the Atlantic Constitution from 1920 that the Georgia Bulldogs would be a fitting name for the college team. Then Cliff Wheatley used Bulldog in his article five different times after a tie against Virginia. calling this team a bunch of bulldogs the way they
right?
fought.
Yeah, yeah.
From that point on, Bulldogs just stuck, and they became the Georgia
became
Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs. Yeah,
but the Georgia, there are no goats as far as I can think of. There are no goats. I want to say in professional sports.
No, there's not, because for so many years the word goat was a negative word, a negative connotation. You were the goat. You missed the play. We lost because of you. You're the goat. It's only been recently it's become an acronym for greatest of all time, which is when it's switched, and it's very positive now, which is very confusing. And if you think about it, the first time someone used goat in the positive sense as an acronym, I was like, what are they talking about? I was, why are they denigrating? This guy's great. What are they talking? Oh, it wasn't until, let me say, a couple years later that I found out that what it meant. It's pretty sad.
But. I think it's very similar to turning bad into a slang word and
meaning good, right?
That kind of thing, or cool and what we did with that.
Yeah, right.
We do this with words. We like doing this.
Why do we
American
do this?
Words.
With words?
I don't know. English
is hard enough to learn, man.
Another example, real quick, just to add on to our stat of the show: Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is another weird example of curious naming. The nickname of the football team changing from with the college's name first. It was Virginia Architectural and Mechanical College. Then the name changed for Virginia Architectural College and
Polytechnic Institute.
Thank you. Technic Institute.
Those are hard to say.
And finally, the name settled with Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State Institute. You know this college by the name Virginia Tech.
Tech, right.
The football team started as the Fighting Gobblers. The nickname was changed to Hokies shortly after that.
Right, right.
But man,
are those Hokies better? I don't know.
I would love to see a game against the Georgia Goats and the Virginia Fighting Gobblers.
That would be awesome.
That'd be good.
Massive. You know what my favorite nickname for a team that's not really their nickname is Georgia Tech. Mm. The Ramblin' Wreck.
Yeah, it's a good
from
one.
Georgia Tech, which is actually part of their school song.
Yes.
I am a Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech and a hell of an engineer, because it's a technical college, makes sense.
Some of our greatest.
Why did they have
to
do the Yellow Jacket? I just stayed with the Ramblin' Wreck. But anyway,
I one of my oldest friends, my best friend's brother Ryan, diehard Georgia Tech fan, and so I just know a ton of Georgia Tech knowledge and players and everything. And I am with you on the name. I
love it. It's
that.
Great. Ramblin' Wreck.
We're gonna take a quick time out. It's okay though. We're close to the end of the game. We can spend our last time out. We'll come back. I want to talk a little schedule, and I want to get into if we have time, the weirdest foods served at NFL stadiums.
Yes.
I got that one for us.
All
coming
right.
up on WFHR's, what show are we doing here? Playmakers. I know who the sponsor is, though. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. You knew I was going to play it one more time.
You had to.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Get in the show. We'd love to hear from you. Call up 715-424-2600. Love to hear from every one of you. What do you got, Seth?
I was going to say, you know, since I did not grow up a Packer fan, I don't know, is there some embarrassing song that the Packers did in the 80s? If there is, we will find it. We will open the show with it once.
I think Magic Man. I want to say there was a Mikowski song or something like that.
Maybe one about Lynn Dickey. I don't know. We'll go with that.
I think in the bumpers, if we get Oingo Boingo in there, we could win some people back over. We could win some, you know, get some, I don't want to work. I just want to play.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we win some
people
over.
Oh, wait, that's Todd Rundgren, by the way. Oingo Boingo.
I'm a gigantic Todd Rundgren fan. So I would love that, actually. I think that'd be pretty cool. I do want to touch on our schedule here real quick. Again, coming up a little bit later on WIRI at 6:50, Assumption High School football hosting Pacelli. Right, Randy, Mike, and Seth going to cover that one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, right here at WFHR, wonderful lineup that kicks off with, of course, the Sunshine Polka Show at 7 a.m. Join us for that. Tim Hubbelt scours the universe looking for the greatest polka, and he brings it to you.
Yes,
it's the greatest polka show of all time, maybe the greatest show of all time, the Sunshine Polka Show, 7 a.m. right here every Saturday at WFHR. After that, you got Terry Talks Nutrition. Terry is a legend in the industry and one of the greater minds in it, and such a good conversationalist and a good talker. Our great friends at Family Natural Foods bring us that show.
Yes,
join
right.
us at 8 a.m. for Terry Talks Nutrition every Saturday. We will not be having Over the Back Fence this Saturday.
Yeah, actually, we will this Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday.
Next Saturday,
it
we
is
will
next
not.
Saturday.
So the pregame for the Badger game does not start till 12:30, and because it lasts 2 hours, it's very confusing with the way they do it. too much pregame. Sorry, yeah. That's just me. But yes, no, I will be here tomorrow for Over the Back Fence. Yes.
Join Call Seth in. With your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, and conversation you want to have. Join Seth for Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon every Saturday when the Badger football doesn't get in there.
Yep, that's right.
But we will at Badger football starting at 12:30. Our pregame will kick off. Badgers hosting South Dakota. Every Badger football game right here where it belongs at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Sunday, we have a wonderful lineup for you and new programming.
We do.
It kicks off with a new director's cut. Seth and I are gearing up to have a bunch of great interviews with some civic members that we mm-hmm. have and some other great creatives in the community. This week, we are going to be putting a spotlight on a couple movies.
Yep.
Seth chose Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yep. For a couple reasons.
I chose the movie Equilibrium. I think it could have easily been reversed. in another universe, it would have been because I love the movie Arsenic and Old Lace, and mm-hmm. I love talking about it with you. It's a really fun hour. Check that out this Sunday at 5. And every Sunday at 5, Director's Cut. 6 to 8, Seth Faces the Music.
Yep, best of episode this week. I am gearing up, though. I hope everyone enjoyed my third anniversary one, which I had last
really
week, about all about the number 3. A couple things I'm working on right now. We're getting close to my 100th show.
Wow.
So I'm still having trouble figuring out what I'm going to do for that, though. How do I celebrate that? Well, figure something out.
Yeah.
And then I'm working on a new Halloween show, too, coming up for October. So that's going to be fun, too.
Songs of the Century. Songs of the Century. Join Seth Faces the Music every Sunday. Day 6 to 8 and spread the word about the show. And all these shows could still use a sponsor, all you businesses
out
there.
Come on now.
We'll take good care of you. Join us. Unlabeled 8 to 9 this Sunday. Did a little bit something different. Did a bit of a popish mix with this one. Songs mm-hmm. that were hits, but maybe not necessarily pop hits. Some of that. Had some requests thrown in there that were really fun. Mm-hmm. Be sure to join us for Unlabeled 8 to 9 every Sunday. New episode for you this week. Be sure to check that out.
He actually, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but you kind of did it in two halves. You did kind of more of the guitar pop in the first part and then the more R&B hip hop in the second part. So.
Thank you for noticing that.
I'm glad. Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was like conscious or not.
Yeah, I tried to have fun.
That was good, though.
As we're wrapping up here, we didn't get to talk Brewers at all today, and I apologize for that, but we are going to be talking a lot of Brewers coming up. Brewers are currently one up on the Colorado Rockies in the top of the third. Okay. It's going to be fun to see this as we race to the playoffs with these teams.
Man, I went to the game on Labor Day, and this is a team, I got to say, you know, even from, you know, just standing where we are, this is a team with confidence right now. The Brewers just, it's not overconfidence. It's not like they're swaggering around or anything like that, but they have this quiet confidence. Like, you know what? We're here. We're going to win. We feel like we're going to win every day. We have that thing, man. I don't know. This could be the team. And I know we've talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, Brewer fans not necessarily having that, you know, feeling like, will we ever, I don't feel hopeful enough that we're going to be able to get there. But the team that could, you know, at the beginning of the season, they were counted out.
Right.
Yeah, they lost Craig Counsell. They lost Corbin Burns. What are they going to do? Well, they just showed it. And they're not slacking off.
No.
They're just continue rolling. And I don't know. This could be something special.
There's no team in baseball, because I've seen all the best teams in baseball multiple times this year. I've gotten to watch a bit of baseball. Mm-hmm. And there's no team, good team, Philly, New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, any of these teams that I haven't seen losing in a game. And the dugout is just heads down, people looking at looking at this, mm-hmm. looking at that, not talking to each other. A lot of, you know, nobody's talking to the pitcher, some of that stuff. In the Brewer dugout, it is vice versa. It is completely different.
Loose.
They're down by 7 runs. They're loose. They're engaged. They're talking to each other. They just have a vibe about that team, an energy about that team, that if I'm playing them and I'm up by 10 runs, I'm not taking my foot off the gas, because I don't count this team out ever.
No.
Even whatever happens with this season, there is so much more hope, I would think, building to a World Series win, which was what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I would have more faith than I've ever had as a Brewer fan, outside of maybe those early 80s teams, that this team could do this.
Mm-hmm.
That this team, and especially, like, this played into your hands perfectly as Brewer fans, and really smaller market teams. We're seeing it more and more. The best teams in baseball flutter out in the early rounds of the playoffs a lot of the time. The health of these players just isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that you can count on, it doesn't matter almost who's in that lineup, they're going to play great defense. Almost every guy on the Brewer team is good at defensively, and that so wins important. You a World Series.
So important.
You add that with a good bullpen, yep, and a team
bullpen,
that
you need that.
Never believes they're counted out. I agree with you, man. Whether it's this year or it's sometime in Pat Murphy's reign, I think you got the manager that can bring you home the ring.
It's something. You know, I look at the other teams right now that are in the playoff hunt in the National League. The only one that would give me pause for concern is Arizona.
Yeah.
Just because of what they did last year, and they seem to get hot at the right time. I don't see Atlanta as big. You know, Philly, the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I mean, they tend pitching. To fold in the thing. So, yep.
I love Mookie Betts. My favorite player in baseball is Mookie Betts. But that team, he can't pitch. He can play every position, but he can't pitch.
Even with Shohei, even with Freddie. Who knows? Yeah. I just don't know if they got it. But anyway.
It's going to be fun to see where baseball ends up. Not only that, but where some of these awards end up. I'm very curious about that part of it, too. And I look forward to talking with that, not only with you, Seth, but with the rest of you out there next week for Playmakers. We're going to be around, of course, all week next week for Playmakers. Yes. We don't have any interruptions. We'll be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday for you. So bring your sports thoughts and feelings to the show. Save them up over the weekend and spread them out through the week if you like. However you want to do it, we're looking forward to hanging out with you next week for more Playmakers. We send a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Yeehaw.
Visit them on A Street. Buy local, support local, support those that support us. Get ready for Assumption High School football over on 105.5, 650. That pregame will kick off. Assumption hosting Pacelli should be a good one. Looking forward to it. Great show today, Seth.
Yeah, it was fun.
Great show today, all of you out there. Great game, everybody. We'll talk to you later right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.